Austin, can I see your effort?
Okay.
They wanted to see, that's the first one I said here, you know, anybody can know, has put it for myself.
Go for it. Okay. Just to give the board and the public as well an update on the Vista Tower out in the Highlands, I'm working with the applicant, or not the applicant anymore, but the owner of the special use permit for that monopine radio communication cell tower out there. Anyway, he's, you know, we talked about before that he has an issue trying to get a carrier on the tower. We're going back and forth negotiation with some kind of a bonding situation out there on that tower, and we're pretty close to that. And once we get ourselves an agreement that works and all that, we'll get that on the Planning Commission and rehear that item that pertains to, one, how many carriers need to be on the tower for it to be built, one, and then the second thing is bonding for reclamation for that tower. So we were going to hold that out in the Highlands at September 15th, but because the fire district is already doing some trainings out there on that day and Fire Safe Highlands, we're going to move the Planning Commission meeting that was at the Highlands for that, as well as the master plan workshop, to September 5th. So I've notified both of the POA HOAs out there, as well as the newspaper said they have put a little blurb in there, and we're pushing out all over we can to let the citizens know of the Highlands. This is time that we're going to do the master plan workshop, which will both be a population discussion, as well as the looking at each goal and objective of the current master plan and coming up with a list of things that the citizens in that community want for their community in the next 5, 10, and 20-year period. So once again, then it will be September 5th, Planning Commission meeting at 6 o'clock in the evening. And so just an update on Birds of Prey. This board knows that we went down to the Tourism Commission and fielded an individual that wants to show owls and exotic birds on the boardwalk, and the public seemed to be okay with the idea, but we're going to go ahead and go through the Planning Commission with a recommendation based on findings as well as what the public had said and what the Tourism Commission had said. And we were originally planning on hearing that sooner than later. The applicant has some things he's working on as well as adjusting the scope of what he wants to do in his application. So it may be as late as October when we hear that for the Planning Commission for a permanent special use permit. Currently, really, he's operating under temporary special events permitting, and I commend Denny for working with the applicant on this, trying to help keep him going through the season, plus just giving him a little bit of time to prove himself as a unique use on the boardwalk before we get him for more of a permanency with the Planning Commission or recommend something completely different. We haven't come up with findings at this point. We've talked a little bit about the Mustang project of the Nature Conservancy down by the river on Mustang Road. That is a project where they had restored the river and fenced it in. One of the problems has been is people will leave the gate in and the wild horses will get into that land, and then they'll close the gate and trap the horses inside. And then so the Nature Conservancy had been trying to feed the horses out of that pen by putting some hay on the outside. Well, of course, they're breaking the law by doing that because you can't feed wild horses. So now the Nature Conservancy is working with the BLM and trying to come up with some kind of a variance or something so if the horses get stuck in there, they can get fed out. Now, we don't have to worry about the horses in there. There's plenty of food. It's like living in a Garden of Eden, but they cause damage to the project or whatever. So that's kind of an update on that. So we're going to continue to kind of monitor and watch and see what's happening with that regard. And then lastly, as Ms. Redmond had talked about a moment ago, as we have a whole loose list of nuisances that we're looking at across the county and all of our communities, not just Virginia City, and her and I have been traveling all over the county looking at our cases and looking at, you know, a plan of action for these property owners. And really, our nuisance abatement is two-pronged. It's not just enforcement, but it's trying to work with property owners and help them, you know, help give them some assistance. There's some people out there that are genuinely good people. They have a hard time with what the situation is, and we're there to help them try to get it cleaned up and provide services and then go beyond that when necessary. So that will definitely be a top priority now, and it'll be followed through with. And that does include a full stretch of C Street with all of the signage and mannequins and whatever other things are going on C Street that need to be brought into conformance with the code. So those are the items I had today.
Austin, one observation I'll make. This past weekend, I took a trip, and at the overlook up at Lake Tahoe, the birds of prey were on display. And I sat for half an hour or so and watched the whole presentation, and lots of birds. Interesting, the public loved it, had a big crowd around in the area that he was. And one of the things that would strike me is I don't know whether, with as many birds as he had there, it's whether you'd have it on the sidewalk, because you wouldn't have the sidewalk there. It was very active and very popular. Every kind of bird in the world, sitting on people and walking on arms, and you know, it's very interactive. I own about 9 exotic birds, and I know that you can't always trust them. So I was watching all these people, you know, kissing the birds, you know, it's up to them. But it looked to me like it would take a little more room than just the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would pretty well be impeding the flow of traffic on the boardwalk.
Commissioner Gilman, what Matt wants to do is kind of two things. He wants to show the birds on the boardwalk, like we had discussed earlier, as you know, hold the bird with a picture, that sort of thing. What he's looking at is doing exactly what you saw at the Lake Tahoe. He's going to need more land for that. So he's talking with Roy Marshall and Scott Jolkover and other people in town that have large areas of land where, you know, maybe off of C Street where we could do these shows or something like that. But before he applies, he'll have to come up with a location for that and property owners and all that. And then also the second half will be the show, just the simple thing on the boardwalk. So I wish I was there to see that up at the lake.
It's an interesting show.
The cell tower, his time is just about ready to expire on his SVP, isn't it?
We got to take a look at that, and I'm glad you brought that up. We're not right on that right at this point, but that is something we need to take a look at. He has a 24-month on that, but we can provide an extension, and at this point he would have to then, you know, get an extension and then go up. You can get 2 extensions under the new code. Mm-hmm. And give them plenty of time needed.
Is it possible, or is it legal for us to, rather than make him go through the whole process again, if he wanted to buy another 6 months or whatever, can we extend that? Is that a...
We can provide an extension. The code explains in 1703 there's a process for getting that extension. It does go back through the Planning Commission. It's not really as arduous of a process as the initial application,
yeah.
But he's working with right now. We think that very soon, in the next 30 days at least, we'll get him to the Planning Commission with an application in hand, and just for an amendment of that one condition. It's not to rehear the whole project again. It's just to look at that one issue and try to make an adjustment.
But we can amend and extend then.
Oh, we can extend even without amending, absolutely. And there's another challenge. He has 2 other towers, and one got struck by lightning, so he's working on that now, and it did a lot of damage to it. And something happened to the second one. It was something got in there and messed it up. So that's what we're dealing with. So he's now diverting his attention to that.
I know the Highlands folks are really looking forward to getting some improved cell coverage out there, and that's why I asked the question, because I certainly don't want to throw any impediments in their way.
Yeah.
The sooner the better. And I guess he's been paying rent on that property the whole time.
He's had a lease involved in that. I don't know if he's paying anything, but I know he's had a lease in place. But we will. We're talking about all the different options, and if it comes to it, we'll work on an extension and run through the Planning Commission and go through the steps and get him that extension. We've done extensions quite frequently, the Planning Commission, particularly in the state of the economy, with certain uses that we know are good for the county, but they're, you know, the applicant's not quite ready to secure the money. Fulcrum, for example, is one that we've been giving extensions because of their unique circumstances.
Any questions for Austin?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mike?
Good afternoon, commissioners, audience for the record. Mike Nevin, Public Works Director. A few items here to report on today. The first item. We're currently in the process of soliciting 4 sealed bids for the Virginia City siphon pipeline improvement through our engineering firm of record, that's Far West Engineering. This project was identified some time ago and includes the purchase and installation of the air release valve assemblies along the existing siphon raw water line from Lakeview, where it intersects the line at Interstate 580, and then continues to a point before the water enters the bullion raw water tank just above the treatment facility here in Virginia City. The plans and specifications call for the installation of 18 assemblies between the locations I just mentioned. These will be automated ARVs. They will replace the manual 3/8 inch little petcock bleeders that we have along the line that have been were installed and still there from the 1870s. The purpose of the project is to help protect this fragile infrastructure with these automated assemblies that can react to change in flow and pressures, thus reducing water and air hammer that have a tendency to cause catastrophic failure. Knock on wood, we haven't seen it happen this year, and we hope it does not. In addition, it is anticipated that the project will allow us to buy some additional time as we continue our search for funding for the entire siphon line replacement. And when the siphon is replaced, these assemblies can be removed and reinstalled on the new water line, so that's a good thing. Last Thursday, we held a non-mandatory pre-bid conference at the Marlett Lake office shop. The purpose was to discuss the project in general and allow for those interested to follow along on a tour of the entire project, to physically visit each site with myself and the engineer. As a result of the meeting, we published two addendums to the bid specifications, just clarifying some language as far as shutdown procedures on the siphon, because it will have to be shut down because there's welding involved. And the requirement for the shutdown has to be a written plan approved by myself, and that has to be in place prior to the work commencing. The other thing we addressed was hot permits, and they being anything that the fire agencies may require of the contractor for fire suppression and clearances and so forth prior to any welding of these assemblies along that line, because some of these assemblies are right on top of the ground, so we've got to take those extra precautions. To date, we've had 8 contractors that are interested in the project. They picked up the bid packet and plans. 4 of the 8 attended the pre-bid, and 2 contractors actually completed the whole tour, which took all day last Thursday. So this next Thursday, the 22nd at 2 p.m., we open bids publicly in the conference room at Far West Engineering, and we anticipate an agenda item before this commission on September 3rd for your approval of the bid and contract. So look forward to that. Secondly, last week we had to install a new water line on the portion of F Street between the Collar Mine and the old Arizona Comstock Mine buildings. These buildings are rented out by the current owner to a couple of different tenants, and they're the old metal buildings you see down there on either side of F Street.
The street down there by my building.
Right, yeah. Last winter, we had issues with that line. It's an old steel line. And 1 month last winter when it was cold and froze and broke, and we didn't even know we were missing water until the gentleman that resides in one of the properties came in, and he had gone through 166,000 gallons in a month. So we thought best to replace it and move forward. So we've got that replaced, and we've relocated the meters down there to a more feasible location for all involved, so that's been completed. Third thing is, next week, it's anticipated our crews will begin the crack sealing project on Cartwright Road in the Virginia City Highlands. We'll begin work at the intersection of Cartwright and 341, working east to the intersection of Lousetown Road. I've had some email contacts back and forth as of late this afternoon with folks on the Highlands Property Owners Association board, so it looks like they're on board with moving forward with us completing the portion of their responsibility, which is 2 miles of Cartwright. So there'll be some traffic delays, and we anticipate few, but we'll be working on that road from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. So we have posted a message board out there indicating that the project will start, and some times and to expect delays during the time we're working out there. I've asked Rennell, and she's going to do so. It's probably already done. We'll post something on the website as well as Facebook, so we'll try to get the word out the best and easiest ways possible to everybody out in that area that might be affected. But it's unfortunate that delays will occur, but, you know, we have to work on the road when there's no snow, and then we're out there again when it's snowing. So, I mean, it's kind of a nonstop process. And this is just basically a repair to hold that pavement together. And we can look at some funding sources down the road for an overlay of that entire stretch.
So. How bad did they choke when you told them the cost?
Yeah, basically for the overlay, yeah. This is much more, I guess, within their budget. You know, we're looking probably for the crack sealing materials, no more than $20,000. And then I'll get a hold of a couple of contractors locally in the Reno area for looking to put a flush seal over the top of that when we're done. So the fourth item is through the efforts of our local emergency management department, Sherry Nevin and Joe Curtis, we were able to secure funding from the United We Stand grant to fund communications improvements as they relate to operations and security at our water treatment plant. iPads were purchased for operators that are up and running. They now provide us mobile access to our SCADA computer for any needed information and or changes that we might have to do to plant operations that we can now do remotely. So that's a big positive change that took place. James Dean has ordered some additional equipment, so we'll be able to link our security cameras via the county microwave site, and that'll give us the ability to funnel that information into the dispatch center as well as our on-call operators. So if there's an event that occurs, we can be right on top of it. So James has the equipment ordered. We hope within the next month to have that all installed and up and running as well. The fifth item, summer's coming to an end. It doesn't appear so with the weather we've been having, but the Story County Swimming Pool will be closing for the season this coming Sunday, August 25th. School starts on Monday, so we lose all of our seasonal lifeguard staff back to their textbook. This year I wanted to recognize those folks that have been involved with the swimming pool management and the lifeguard staff. This year, Damon Phillips, who's a student here in town, was our pool manager. Chris Dufresne was the assistant manager. And this was the first year since I've been involved in public works that I haven't received a complaint via the public and/or gotten a call for some other internal issues that developed at the pool. So I think that was a good thing. And I think it's refreshing to know that we have the young folks that accept and take this sort of responsibility. So kudos to them. Item six, and finally, the Mark Twain Community Center, the security wall between the community center and the fire department apparatus bay is almost complete. It'll be completed by Thursday of this week. They should be painting tomorrow, so that's all I've got for you.
Going back to sewer plant, where do we sit with BLM on the land issue down there?
Well, everything's in Washington, D.C. as we speak. Was anticipated in an email that I saw a couple of weeks ago that maybe within 30 days we would have that documentation needed and the purchase of that property would go through. What was it? $1.50, I can't remember. It was hardly anything, but you know, we're at the whim of, you know, I mean, they've told us before that, you know, within 30 days, and sometimes it drives on longer than that, but at least the documentation is there, and so we keep an eye on them, and the engineering firm is in touch with those folks. So
what do you recall the acreage that we're looking for down there?
As I remember, I think it was 12 to 14 acres that surround that project, yeah. That basically will bring that piece up to the east side, I guess, if you will, or close to it, of the high school football field, and then along north to the northwest along the road and then back down around the bottom side of the plant there.
So. I asked that because when we were talking about land use in Eureka last week, everybody was just amazed that they would make, you know, it took so much work to get a lousy, I think I called it 8 acres, I said it's a nightmare. I mean, just for nothing.
It's been a work. It's been a work in progress for 7 years.
Longer than that.
Hopefully, the resolve is right around the corner. So that's a good thing.
One more thing I have on the Mark Twain Community Center, the air conditioner that sits on the west side of the building, right there. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We need to put something in there, some barriers or something to keep the cars
from going
into
that
thing.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Because I think with the increased use, there's a high probability somebody's going to, and that's a pretty new unit.
Yeah, good thought, yeah. We can
keep forgetting to mention that.
We can get that done. We have the means to do that.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Steve?
Commissioners, thank you. Last week, we had a grand opening, groundbreaking for Nature Conservancy on a $6 million project there at Tracy. Most of that project is in Story County. They said Washoe County, Story, but majority of it is in Story County. We also had a grand opening for a new restaurant down there at 420 Waltham Way, and that was Hot Pots, where you can actually sit down and a waitress will come down and take feed you and take your order and everything.
Waltham?
USA Parkway, 420 USA Parkway. We also had a close of escrow on 1.8 million square foot of existing buildings from a group out of Chicago, New York. The Prologis building sold. New management team came in. I've already met with them, going over with that. It will still be called Prologis with a different acronym, but they'll keep the same name. All of Prologis's were bought out in a foreclosure. All of those buildings are full. We're filling the last vacancy right now with a new company, Nevada Distribution, and we'll do racking inspections tomorrow, and we started to let them move products in last week. We also closed escrow and I permitted on Friday. A new company that'll be announced on Thursday. You've all been invited to that. They're investing about $85 million in Story County. I am ongoing meeting with the engineers and with the company weekly, and I did permit that on Friday for that work to start on that building. Ongoing concrete pour started at midnight on 700 USA Parkway. That's a 525,000 square foot facility. That is already 275,000 of that is rented and leased out, and we got people fighting on the other. Currently, I'm working on, we are on the short list on bids, going out to bids for $1.3 million, $750,000, $400,000, and three 700,000 square foot buildings. So we're looking at close to more to 4 million square foot more buildings. I meet with companies, engineers, and designers on all of them constantly. I go to the pours. Last week I had to stop the pours and dump three loads of concrete because they had problems at the concrete plant, and so we shut them down at 4 o'clock. And so we pour all those between midnight and 8 a.m. They finish up about noon. I get done about 3 o'clock, so we've been putting in long hours. So we've been busy, luckily busy, and the project's going on. We got Suave. We will have them opened up by the end of this month. I got 1-800-Flowers opened up last week, 2 weeks ago. You have a tour on Tuesday with NDOT, directors of NDOT and FWHA. We will be going through four buildings and USA Parkway. We'll be going through four of our biggest companies, Toys R Us, Walmart, eBay, and Mars. And then we will be having a luncheon hosted by Lance with a follow conclusion meeting at that time. That will start at 8 a.m. at 420 USA Parkway on next Tuesday. All the invites and the agendas have been posted, and possible quorum has been posted also, thanks to Vanessa. Any questions? We also are permitting six more projects at Comstock Mining and three or four more houses out in the Highlands. Thank you.
I'd like oysters for lunch.
Oysters. Thank you. Could be a problem. Flown in from New York.
Hawaiian buns, please.
Sure.
I have a few things. One, we're some 7-8 weeks into the current budget. During the budgeting process, there was discussion on the jail fund, missing resolution, missing documentation, what the jail fund is, how it's to be used, everything like that. That was discussed during the budgeting process. I don't want people to forget that's still something we need to address. The longer we let things sit, the longer it's, or the easier it seems to forget about it. We still need to go back and fix the jail fund resolution so we know what it's for, how it is in the future. Another item that I've mentioned several times, I've brought it up in light of some of the recent licensing issues, and it's significant to item number 10 on today's agenda, but not specifically related, is the special event liquor licensing. The current ordinance reads that you can only obtain three of those in a year's time. We've been kind of pushing that envelope, trying to get some of these events going and some of the different license holders sponsoring the different events. My understanding of item number 10 is that it'll take some of it off of the license holders, put it directly onto the VCTC, but we still have that hurdle in the ordinance on it only allows three events a year, three special event licenses a year. It's something we've discussed here, something I've discussed with DA Maddox, so just another reminder is that's something that we need to get resolved in the near future if in fact we're going to continue down this path. And
I forgot about that.
Last thing I have is probably not going to be real popular. It's not real popular with me. I want to talk about time cards and vehicle uses. And while this would normally be an inter-office, inter-departmental conversation in light of events recently, the last several months, I'd just soon have this a public conversation because I've got nothing to hide. I recently discovered that I've been the subject, or my office has been the subject of an investigation or examination, however you'd like to put it, that resulted in inference and insinuations of county policy violation and or possible criminal violations. Two things that really bother me about this whole process is, one, nobody ever bothered to come and ask my office about anything. And two, print and television media found out about it damn near at the same time I did. So all of this stuff is going on, nobody bothers to come and ask me, when there's a simple explanation if anybody ever bothered to. The specific issues, and I don't know if you gentlemen have received copies of the letter, I'll make sure you get it before I leave today. Simple answer on timesheets is administrative error, plain and simple. The person in question has over 300 hours of annual leave on the books. He's got some 62 hours of time that is being flexed out that he did not claim for overtime, which is not prohibited under county's administrative code, which is not prohibited under FSLA, to my knowledge, not prohibited under county contract. This individual asked that he be allowed to flex time, and that's a savings for us, where we're giving it back to him hour for hour. And every department in the county is doing it, most likely, to some extent or another. So, after reading the letter, if the county chooses, if you gentlemen choose to make adjustments to the county administrative code, so be it. I ask that that code be applied evenly across the board, because lately I feel like I'm being singled out for a whole bunch of stuff. Now, some of this, of course, is taking place in a vacuum, as you don't have all the information, but I'm sure once you read everything, you'll see where it is, and then we can have a more informed discussion about it. Perhaps that's agenda for the next meeting. Same thing goes to my vehicle use policy. Just a quick history on that. In 2009, Story County had some significant fiscal shortfalls, and there were a number of people laid off. At that point in time, the commissioners also chose to eliminate the take-home vehicle policy for the people living outside of Story County. That was done. Now, there was a union grievance filed through the sheriff's office on behalf of the deputies. There was several months' worth of negotiations back and forth. While nothing was ever codified in writing as part of a contract, the end result of that was an agreement that the deputies could drive to the nearest duty station, pick up a vehicle, and drive to their assigned area for their shift. Now, simple explanation of this is, if somebody lived in Sparks or Reno or that area, they could drive to Lockwood, pick up a vehicle, and drive up to Virginia City if they were assigned to work this end of the county, or vice versa. If they were coming out of Dayton and Carson, they could pick up a vehicle in Virginia City and drive down to the north end of the county if they were assigned to work their shift down there. Now, this has gone on since 2009, and I checked with my predecessor. He assures me that was all codified and approved through the powers that be at the time, and it's just a practice that's continued. It's also something that's been discussed for a number of years during budget negotiations or budget process as to, yeah, it's a few pennies that we'll save here and there. When we did the numbers in 2009, it wasn't that huge of a fiscal cost when you compared to the several months where the deputies drove straight to their duty assignment versus when they picked up their vehicle and drove from one end of the county to the other. But it is a savings, and I think everybody realizes that I'm all about saving money for the county. I've done that on several fronts across the board. So if that's something that is opted to do, you've got my complete and utter support. NRS is very clear. You gentlemen control the vehicles, set the policy, and have exclusive right to how those are used. So if that's something that the commission opts to do in the future, then I'm all in support of that. I have no problems with it. It's just disturbing to me to make innuendo and allegations of violations of policy and possible criminal violations without ever even bothering to check with me. So I'll let if anybody has questions.
I have a quick comment. This is all new business for me, and the first that I'm really aware of it. It would seem to me that since there are two issues that appear to be substantive enough for you to bring it to the public, that it would be worthwhile to agendize it, let us read your letter, know more about what the issue is, and perhaps revisit it at the next meeting. That would be the initial thought I would have with something like this.
I
don't know enough to even comment on it. Are there both new issues for me?
Well, and I understand that, and that's why I said earlier in my conversation is this is to let you know about it. I'm willing to speak on the next agenda regarding both of these topics, but in the meantime, our friend at Channel 4 News has already discussed the vehicle issues, which is primarily directed at my office, while he said Story County, brand new shiny police car that's sitting on the media, and I understand our district attorney has a meeting with him day after tomorrow to discuss the time card issue. So almost as fast as I find out the information, it's out in the media. I was asked by a newspaper this morning about it. You know, it's disturbing to me that information leaves Story County that quickly without ever even asking the individual who's responsible.
I agree with you. Something's amiss, so I would like to see some additional research with you done personally so we can support you properly.
And same thing, just a final touch on the vehicle issue is same thing with the vehicle usage is should the commission decide to change the existing practice and everything with the vehicle usage. I said, I'm all in support of that. Your vehicles, tell me what you want. That's how we'll use them. But again, apply it evenly to all the offices of the county.
What's the time card issue that the press is looking at?
The specific issues of a time card was an individual who took some leave time and it was not reflected on his time card. Well, as a standard practice, I can tell you that a lot of the deputies will fill out their time cards for the next 6 months. They'll sit down, fill them all out at one time, and then they'll go back and adjust them as we get to that specific pay period. And they'll either subtract leave time, add holidays, add overtime, whatever the case may be. In this particular instance, the deputy in question submitted a leave request in, I believe, early April of this year, and it didn't get attached and it wasn't reflected on his time card properly. As soon as that was pointed out, it was corrected. We had the leave slip in hand, and like I said, even if it hadn't been a pre-approved leave, he has 62 hours of leave or of flex time that he worked that is being, and it's an inter-office issue. And like I said, there are several other agencies or offices, departments of the county, and everywhere I've ever been uses flex time to some degree or another. So to make innuendo of fraud or policy violation on the basis of an administrative error or clerical error on a timesheet is pretty ludicrous.
You know what I think bothers me the most is that something like this was ever leaked to the media, and basically at the same time or whatever as you found out. And how did the media get copies of time cards?
I don't know what they have in the way of time cards. Mr. Maddox spoke with the gentleman, and maybe he can enlighten you more after Thursday. And I have no problem talking about it to Mr. Hart or anybody else because I know there was no wrongdoing. That's why I'm having this conversation publicly.
If I could interject, we're getting a little far. Afield on something that's not agendized. So
yeah,
we ought to do is agendize it and then discuss it. And I appreciate the sheriff wants to be cleared as soon as he can. But we need to be careful. This is one of the reasons versus.
Well, we haven't.
This is just conversation right now. That's all it is.
Okay.
We're starting to talk, the problem is that we're getting, we're talking about...
All right, officially, this conversation never happened. Gary, thank you, and pursue that, thanks for the info. Let's see, Bill, do you have any...
Thank you, sir.
Is that it?
Do you have any other comments, Bill, besides?
None.
V?
Chase?
Nothing?
Other than, I'll be the pretty face that appears on television, so...
Yeah, he did me by phone interview last week. I have two reports to give. The first one is on behalf of Gary Hames. Chief Hames, who's battling a very bad back at the moment. He apologizes for not being in attendance. Please accept this as my staff report for informational purposes. We have been very active in the Western Great Basin's mobilization plans for wildland fires. At this time, we have the following personnel and equipment out of district. On the Big Windy Complex in Grants Pass, Oregon, we have a water tender staffed by a seasonal firefighter, and we have another water tender staffed by a volunteer. On the Butler Fire up in Six Rivers, Oregon, we have an engine staffed with a career captain, a seasonal firefighter, and two seasonal firefighters. On the Red Cow Fire in Elko, we have a patrol unit staffed with a seasonal and partnered with a North Lyon County career firefighter. Ron Atkins probably, I don't know if you can call any of these good duties, Ron Atkins probably got the best of the lot because he got a plane ride up to Birch Creek Fire in Circle Hot Springs, Alaska, where they have assembled a strike team. We have no equipment up in Alaska other than BC Atkins. The Spring Peak Fire, which just recently broke out 25 miles southwest of Hawthorne, this is the one that's threatening Bodie. We have a brush engine staffed with a career employee and two seasonals, and a dozer full unit and patrol unit staffed with a seasonal and partnered with one of our former firefighters who's now career down at top of Douglas. Currently, we are at drawdown and will not be sending anything else out of district until such time something returns. All days off for seasonals have been canceled for the past 4 weeks, and we do have sufficient coverage. All of the backfill is being charged to the specific incident, so it's cost neutral as far as staff, and then we get our equipment hourly rates per our schedule. The bigger problem is we continue to have equipment breakdowns at no fault of our maintenance facility. In fact, the maintenance facility has been wonderful in trying to keep everything up and running during the fire season. The following are out of service as of today. We have a patrol unit down at Capitol Ford for a high-pressure oil pump problem. We have a Polaris unit that's down in Reno for a ship linkage problem. We have a utility vehicle that's at the shop with an oil leak problem. A patrol unit that's at the shop with bad front ball joints, and that's the way we got that unit back when we inherited it from MDF. We've got an engine unit that's down at Silver State in Reno to repair the axle gear problem, and we do have one of our rescue out units, ambulances, that's in the shop trying to get the emergency lights to work again. There's a new Type 3 engine that's being fabricated, should be completed next week and in service out in the Highlands. The new used water tender for the Highlands is in the process of having lights and radios installed. It is in partial service at our Lockwood station. They received their permit from Nevada Department of Environmental Pollution last week for live fire training out at our tri-station. The Painted Rock project consisting of fuel reduction along Canalway is finished. That seasonal crew is now moving to fuel reductions behind Rainbow Bend and Perry Ranch Road. So that's Chief Hames' report. Mine is a little briefer.
County Manager, could I ask a question? Just for the audience, these people are out in other communities fighting fires or being paid by the county, but we get reimbursed, is that correct, for all the time that they spend in the other counties?
We are made 100% whole both for their time and also for any overtime incurred as a result of what's called backfill. So, yes, is the answer. And then, so that's the cost neutral part, Mr. Mannix. The cost beneficial part
to us is there is a steep hourly fee on a lot of these units. I mean, a dozer, a fire engine, those units have an hourly schedule that we also bill those incidents out to. So in Atkins' case, it's just staff, but in every other case where we've got equipment, we might be making $100 to $200 an hour off of an equipment schedule as well.
So for those people who are wondering why our firefighters are all over the country, we're actually getting reimbursed for their time, but we also are making a little bit of money from the use of our equipment. Would that be right?
That's absolutely right. And then the other obvious benefit, thanks for asking, Bill, is no fire department that I'm aware of anywhere has the resources to fight some of these fires by themselves. You've got to do it on a regional and even national basis. And the key there is if we ever have a fire that threatens any of our communities, probably the greatest concern would obviously, I think, be the Highlands. But any of our communities, we're going to need those very same resources. NDF can't do it by themselves, even though we're paying $150,000 a year for their resources. It takes really a collaborative effort with all these guys. That's one of the things I think Chief Haynes has got a great release going out that Bonnie Matten is doing for the Dayton newspaper that indicates the benefits of cohabitating that station down in Dayton for the benefit of our Mark Twain folks and for Dayton's as well. So my report is, first off, I'd like to thank Commissioner McBride, Chief Haynes, and Mike Nevin for their respective roles in eliminating the parking restrictions in front of the courthouse. We're estimating that freed up probably an additional room to park 5 to 6 cars. We are working on signage with Mike. Similar probably, but smaller to what's out in the lot, in our south parking lot. It's our intention would be to have it restricted for courthouse business on Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 and be available on weekends and holidays and all other times for tourist-related traffic. We're not going to make it be off-street parking or on-street parking for apartment complexes. Again, I want to thank Mike, and I know many of you participated. We had a great tour of our water system last week. It was a tremendous day. We had almost 25 people out there. And I'd like to also thank Commissioner Gilman for my new favorite meal, some Hawaiian buns and sandwiches from his business. So thank you both. Bob, Mr. Morris has already mentioned the agenda action report. I want to thank him. It's a very easy report, and it will be consistent. We're tweaking just a few little things on how it appears. The whole idea will be to give you on the front page a picture that you can just kind of look at, complete with recommended motions should you decide to go that way. And then Bob is working with us to tweak our existing policies to incorporate use on this as well. I do want to remind everybody that noon on the Monday of the week before the commission meetings is pretty much the absolute deadline. There's really, the agenda packages are becoming larger and larger. So if we don't have, even from department heads, the community, Mr. Phillips mentioned the noon request, and that was on time. But if we don't have those by that deadline, I advised the departments this morning they're going to wait until the next meeting, so if they get on. I did get a great email this morning from Pam Abercrombie. She's the Project Management and Development Director for Community Chest, and she advises that Story County Library cardholders can now download ebooks and audiobooks thanks to their strong partnership with the Carson City Library. And I did put out there flyers for the general public and give you guys each one. The program's called Overdrive. They currently have about 2,000 titles available. There's great explanations. Again, I'd probably ask maybe Carl and Angela to get some of this information into the paper. Pam would be a great one to quote. You can check them out for 7 to 21 days. It's cool stuff. And remember, these guys are doing all this instead of $105,000 that we spent on that library per year over the last many years. I think our total budgeted amount for them was $15,000 this year to do it. We're making great things happen, and I'm proud of Pamela and Sean and our community chest partners. And lastly, I received some interesting statistics in a briefing from Ronell at RKPR. As you know, we
We use Rynell for a number of features. We basically buy, I can't remember if it's 10 or 20 hours a month of, you know, just fixed services, kind of loosely defined. It definitely helped us with the social media, with Facebook, Twitter, and now Flickr, what I have not really been aware of. And then she also helps us with our press releases, getting those in a, you know, in an acceptable style. She's just a great resource. She actually was one who attended the Marlette tour with many of us. And so just, and I'm probably going to botch this up because I'm not a social media. I do social media, but I don't understand all these stats. Danny probably understands them better than I do. But on Facebook alone, just from one of three different postings we put, and Rynell put up a bunch of pictures from the Marlette tour, that if you're not following us on Facebook, you please like us, I think is the right phrase. Just, you know, from that one, I'm going to review stats in a minute. But having the Campbell, where was the Campbell? Is his National Night Out in Lockwood or here? In Lockwood, that generated some tremendous, but you can see Gary put one on Facebook, or have Rynell put one on, actually, because Gary couldn't do it. But and I'm not statistically graphing here. I'm going to give this to Vanessa. It is kind of marked up by me, but just the one where Gary went into the program, that there will now be red flags flying at our firehouses when it's a red flag day, warning the public visibly not to burn, that it's high fire dangers. Those are spiking our numbers in a great way off the charts. This is, I found, very interesting. We went from 276 because of the red flag to 295, so almost 20 new people started following and seeing on their Facebook stuff about Story County. And that breaks down to, there's quite a few of us from Virginia City that like to follow because it's cool, but there's 52 of us here. There's 75 people in Reno. You know, they're following. So more people in Reno are following us than we're even following ourselves here. By the time you probably add up Virginia City and the Highlands and however much of Sparks is really counted, and maybe however much of Dayton really is looked at, Mark Twain, it might be a push. But there's a lot out of area interest. 70% of the people we're reaching when we put these out, and that are things like, if Rynell posts on Facebook and Denny likes it or I like it, then all of our friends will see that. It's just much more complex than probably all three of you really care about, but it's cool stuff. But 70% of those people who saw that message one way or another or seeing our messages are women. 28% are men. Yet when you get down to people that have liked us, those 295 break down to 55%. Female and 43%, so it's much even closer. I have no idea what happened to the other 2%, but that's okay. So we talked a little bit about the spikes in business. Again, the stats you'll see, Twitter is also beginning to become a very viable social media for us to get the word out. And now even we put those 80 photos up Rynell did of the Marlette tour, and we got 105 different views off of those tours. So you really ought to, you know, take a look. We're encouraging the department heads to share the word. And one thing I'd ask, if people out there, Nicole, I don't know if you're on Facebook, but for those that do, again, if you would share some of our stuff and share some of the Virginia City, you know, pages too. Those are great pages. She's responsible for that one too. But if you share those, then all your friends will see them, you know, and everything. So that's how you reach people. The Marlette Hobart tour, we had 852 people wind up clicking on us through friends, likes, whatever all that stuff is. Sorry, I'm not an expert at all of it. The red flags, we reached 412 people, and there was a share off of that one. And does the Camel have a name? Anyway, having the Camel at a Lockwood for National Night Out, that got 176 people interested enough to click on those pictures and see us at National Night Out. So I think it's pretty neat stuff.
Yep.
So, and that's my report.
If I could add something to what the county manager and Bob Morrison, I know I said I didn't have anything to say, but the couple of advantages of this new report that's going to be on the front of each agenda item is, if you'll all look at it at the very top, it has an estimate of time required. So people who don't want to or can't sit through the meeting And again, it's just an estimate, but I think as we go along, we'll get more sophisticated in estimating the time things take. So people who don't want to sit through the consent agenda and the pledge allegiance can start estimating about what time at the end of the meeting the public comments will be, so that they don't have to sit here. And I know you like looking at me for an hour or two, but some of you might not. So that's one of the advantages of this new form. The second thing about the meetings that Pat, Vanessa, and I have, and this document, is that it'll force us to have the backup materials ready when we have the meeting on Mondays, so that when it's all, when the agenda gets posted, the backup materials will be there. James Dean advised us this morning that our website now, which is being managed by our county IT department, is all up and running, so hopefully we won't have as many problems as we've had. Plus, we'll change things on there so that when you open the web page up, the agenda and the materials will be right there. You don't have to search through 60. Every time I have to figure out how to find the agendas and the minutes and the materials. So this form will help us get the public better informed and involved in our meetings. That's all I have.
Thank you, Bill.
As a follow-up to that, do I also understand, Bill, that we're getting close to starting to load all public documents onto our website?
I think that's an effort we're making. Yeah, I think probably Jen Chapman is further along than any other department.
Yeah, it's a major undertaking, Commissioner Gilman. I mean, we are, to say we're getting closer, yes, I wouldn't expect it anytime soon, and it will be department by department. The website we're working with right now, which is good but old for website terms, it was designed and structured in about 2003 to 2005, and it was an extremely expensive project. Right now, by internalizing it, we've just taken the same website and moved it internal, so we're not paying for service outside, and we can control our own destiny and begin these projects without spending exorbitant amounts of money. But our ultimate goal, absolutely, at kind of your request, sir, was, you know, we're over time, we want to get as many of the public documents available and easy to find. That's the key right now. As yeah. Bill said, we've had agendas and packets on there for years. Probably agendas in minutes, clear back to 2004 or 5 when we unveiled this. But, you know, you got to know where you're going. You got to know where you're going for a job search. Do you have any jobs, you know, being posted or anything? So that redesign is what takes time. And I kind of told the East Department this morning at our monthly department head meeting, when Tim does come to you and say, let's sit down together with Ronell and redesign your pages, you better be ready for it, because if you aren't ready, you go to the bottom of the list. And the smart departments, and we have a bunch of them out there, and some that aren't here, many, they're going to be the ones that want this quicker, because it's going to make it easier to access from the public, and it's going to make it easier on our reduced staffs that we've cut back by 33% over the last 5 years.
So I think everybody should be committed. It's a huge task in a county that hasn't had the ability of software to do this before, but the great news is it's happening. It's coming together, and it will happen. Just everybody's going to have a little patience with it.
Yeah. And I know we had a few blips on the website. We're still experiencing a few. Jed Margolian let me know about one on some of the recorder's documents. We're getting some phantom errors out there, but even just that migration of the web servers from outside vendor servers in-house, that went much smoother than we thought. And if anybody is aware of problems, we need to know them. We had all of our breaking news and agenda minutes, I believe, successfully alert like we want them to, because we know that's how a lot of people know we've posted agendas and minutes for both our planning commission and our county commission. So, and our breaking news we use all the time. I'm done, sir.
Thank you, Pat.
Well, moving right along then, I think we're all caught up here. Item number 6, scratch that because...
I'll own that one. I was anxious to get it on the agenda. Then and spoke with Carlin, and she's got a well-deserved little mini vacation camping for the end of the year, so she cannot make today. But this is her project. She's gotten the blessing of either the ones or the tens, I can't recall which. And these would just be at the entrances of Lousetown and Cartwright, and I think it's a great idea, but we'll have all that to you hopefully next time.
Yeah. Okay, item number 7 is approval of resolution 13382. Appointing community development as administrator pursuant to Story County Code Chapter whatever it is.
Okay, okay. That would be me. 4.05.015. We revamped business licenses probably somewhere shortly after 2005 when Sheriff Miller took over office and really didn't want to get involved in some of the business licenses. And it made more sense to give it to community development at that stage. Since then, it's kind of morphed into something interesting that I love because it's a one-stop shop kind of process. Obviously, the sheriff needs active involvement in liquor, brothel, cabaret, gaming, thank you. And rather than take a business, you know, I'll use Commissioner McBride's as an example, rather than take that business and have whoever's doing the licensing for it have to deal both with Dean's office and Sheriff Antonaro's office, the sheriff has graciously said he'll take all those. So really what our code says that we have apparently never done because we can't find it is we need to appoint an administrator by resolution. So resolution 13-382 is that. It's more or less a house cleaning item. It doesn't change anything the way we practice. It just makes us comply with our own ordinance.
Comments on it? Anyone? Mark?
And I might note that Mr. Phillips is taking the podium. You have an incorrect copy in there because my spell check didn't catch the proper spelling of the word cabaret. Apparently, I don't spend much time in cabaret. So the one you will sign that Vanessa has been corrected in, I think, 4 different places.
Go for it.
Marcus Phillips, Virginia City resident. This is discussion before the possible action approval of resolution 13-382, appointing community development department as the administrator pursuant to Story County Code Chapter 5.04.015. Commissioner, this is what I do. It took me quite a bit of time to go through Story County Code and figure out what was supposed to be, identify what wasn't on record yet, and start a paper trail to confirm that this resolution what was not on record. I do this as a citizen, and in everything I do, this is my intent. If something needs to be corrected, let's correct it. This is housekeeping. I'm not going to go back and say why not. I appreciate this being on the agenda today. It's a housekeeping matter. Took a lot of work. I'm not going to get a medal, but not going to get my name put on this. But I do appreciate when I do my homework and do my research and identify something that has been neglected in the past, and to have it actually corrected in the minutes of a meeting, I truly appreciate that. Thank you.
I might add, so Mr. Phillips doesn't have to find this one and go through a similar process. In doing the research on this, we discovered that there's a reference in 5.04.015 that the appointed administrator shall carry out the functions prescribed to the administrator in Chapter 5.05. Chapter 5.05 does not exist that we can find. So when Mr. Morris is going through cleaning up some of these ordinances, we will.
Correction. Mr. Witten, that refers to a small chapter that refers to folks who have fictitious names, that chapter actually refers to the control and fictitious names. There is a chapter.
Any other comments on this? Motion.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve Resolution 13-382, appointing the Community Development Department as the administrator of business licenses.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All righty. Appointment of Story County Representative to Story County Debt Management Commission.
Okay, Vanessa's asked me to take this one since there's a microphone a little closer to me than her, although this is her staff report. We're required by statute to have NRS 350.0115. We're required to have a debt management commission that meets annually to review the reports and agendas of various local government bodies. In Story County, statute would appear to require us to have be composed of one representative of the county, one representative of the school district, one representative of general improvement districts, and two representatives of the public at large. Also pursuant to NRS 350.0115, a county commissioner is to be appointed as a representative of the county, to be the county's representative by the county board. So that's what's before you today. We need to meet in August, and I apologize if this was a newsflash to Vice Chairman McBride, who I didn't have quite as constant contact with last week, it seems like, but hopefully Vice Chairman McBride has graciously said he'd love to serve on this once again committee. So it's our recommendation that you appoint him.
Okay. Any public comment? Motion.
You need to make the motion.
Make the motion. Appointment of representative of the Story County Debt Management Commission. The appointment consists of one member of the Board of County Commissioners, and that representative will be Marshall Fry.
Okay, I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you, Commissioner McBride.
Thanks for stepping up to the plate there. Okay, item number 9.
This one was my attempt at the discussion that we had during, I believe, board report last time, where it was suggested that we take a look at moving back to 10 a.m. And in noodling on this, as one of my friends, the commissioner, says, it seems like there are a lot of reasons to consider it. I actually had forgotten this, but prior to 2005, or actually in early 2005, we made a switch from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Predominantly, that was because at the time, Chairman Kershaw had a full-time obligation with Circus, and he was able to flex his day and start very early in the morning there and still make it up here for a 2 p.m. and sometimes even a 1 p.m. meeting. So we settled in for 2 p.m. there. And key to this one is, you know, again, the meetings seem to go a little bit longer. Staff's going into more detail. There's public comment, which is, as Commissioner Gilman definitely said, is welcomed on many of our items and many of the non-agendized items. You know, if we go into, now everybody in this room right now, except for Desi, is exempt from overtime that's on county staff. But Desi is not. If Desi was required to be here past 5 o'clock and we couldn't anticipate that, she'd be in overtime. I do have Jesse Thane, who right now is subject to overtime under Fair Labor Standards Act, who is actually monitoring this meeting and then giving a proactive news burst to Ronell to post up on the Facebook and website as to how the activities went today. So this will help us control overtime. If Vanessa's not here for some reason, which rarely happens, when Wendy and Dory come in again, that would put us into an overtime. So shifting to 10 a.m.
is being recommended. We also looked around at other commissions in our area and found that Carson City meets on the first and third Thursdays at 8:30. Douglas County meets on the first Thursday in Minden and on the third Thursday at 1:30 up at South Lake Tahoe, I believe, or State Line. And Lyon County meets on the first and third Thursdays at 9 a.m. So staff's recommending the reversion back to the 10 a.m. starting time primarily for cost save, potential cost savings.
Comment?
How do we compare it to other rural counties that we're so often compared to, like Lander or Esmeralda or Mineral counties? What time do they start their meetings?
I did anticipate that question since it's so oft uttered. And Mineral County meets at 9 a.m. on the first and third Thursdays. Esmeralda meets at 10 a.m. on the first and third Tuesdays. And Lander County meets on the second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Thank you for your question, Vice Chairman.
Any other discussion from the board?
I appreciate the 10 a.m. start time. That will work well for my desk.
Discussion from the public. Mr. Beach. Melvin.
I think it's going to the right way, but I'd rather see you starting at 8:30 or 9 to get it all in before we have a two-hour lunch break. Because I only want to come up here once. And the help comes to work at 8, and either 8:30 or 9, this could be put together. And if you go at 10, then you're going to have a little break at 11. And what happens for the dinner time, lunchtime for the help? You know, they're not going to like to wait at 2 in the afternoon to eat. And if you come early as you can come, the better off you are in business. People are brighter in the morning. I've worked a lot of jobs and start 5 o'clock in the morning. And my best days is from 5 to 7, my best hours. And my worst hours is on the other end of the clock. 10 at night, they're just wasting their money paying me. They always was. And that's all. I'd just like you to consider going a little farther in the morning. I know Lance has got a long way to drive, and it bothered me that everybody in this county was inconvenienced because our county commissioner had a job. Well, he had a job whenever he ran for office. And he knew that he was going to have to come to these meetings. And the meeting should be over and above. And his job is secondary whenever he takes public office. I think it's wrong that I've been inconvenienced for all the times I've come up here just because the guy down at the river had a job at Circus. You know, this starting public comments at the end of the thing is terrible on my life and it's terrible on my health, but I'm going to be here. You know, I have to do it, but I'd like it in early as you could do, and maybe consider 9 or do some more research. We've got 3 or 4 out there, and you know, Lance can get up here. He works day and night anyway, and that's all I want to say for this.
Mr. Beach, I'd like to respond on one issue. Our meeting on commission day, my first meeting here, is 7:30 a.m. every commission period. And we don't start at 10.
I don't know. What about your first meeting? Everything to me is secondary to the meeting.
We start at 7:30 a.m.
You
have a staff. We have a staff meeting at the start of every day that we have a meeting. So every Tuesday, every other Tuesday, all the staff gets together in the morning, and then one time a month, all the department heads get together. So we all start. We're going to start the staff meetings at 7:30 and go to 8:30, and then we'll start the department head meetings at 8:30 and go to 9:30.
See, if I was in charge, which I'm not, why couldn't we have the staff meetings the day before? This is on Thursday. You know, there's a lot of time to have staff meetings. I've got a lot of businesses, and staff meetings are the very best Monday morning at starting time. Very early Monday morning.
I'm going to add one little brief thing to this. First of all, Dale, and lastly, this is not your meeting. This is our meeting.
I understand that.
Okay? You play by our rules. We make the rules, you play the game.
Well, I don't. I can still go back and go home. I do have that privilege, Mr. Chairman.
I would support what Commissioner Gilman says. I mean, could we move those to Monday? You could, but honestly, getting ready for these meetings, making sure I know which staff is going to be here, which staff is not, who I may have to report for in their absence while they have other important things to do. I think Commissioner Gilman has said it very well. We are starting our days now at 7:30 to get that part out of the way. I'm a little bit worried that we'll have that constrained time crunch but we'll make it work.
I'm good to go. Is there any other public comment on this, Mark?
Thanks, Commissioners. In regards to agenda item number 9, discussion before possible action, changing the starting time of Story County Commission meetings from 2 p.m. to 10 a.m. My two concerns were about 10 a.m. is going on winter would be snow removal before 10 o'clock. Sometimes things are a little slow getting started around here when it snows. Okay, enough said about that. My second concern is the lunch break. Of course, I will be the quorum and deliberation police, making sure there is no deliberation during that lunch hour. Or is it going to be 2 hours? I mean, is this lunch hour going to turn into a time for deliberation and a quorum out of this meeting? And I hope that you could think about that.
We will. Thank you. Anytime we want to make a decision outside the courtroom, we just do it anyway, Mark.
Pardon?
Anytime we ever want to make a decision outside of the courtroom, we just do it anyway. You know, telephones, telegraph, internet. Go ahead, Gunther.
My name is Gunther Prosser, River District resident, and earlier part of the year, there had been discussion about having meetings in the other parts of the county, and I was wondering if this was going to be discussed with this change of the agenda time.
With doing what now?
Having meetings, these meetings at other parts of the county, like in Rainbow Bend or at Mark Twain. So I was just wondering if this would be part of this discussion.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Judy.
Judy Cohen, local business owner, Story County resident. I think it's very nice that you ask the six of us that do not receive any funds for working anywhere in the county, because there are six of us here today, versus 13, 14 of her, that I was thinking to myself, of the time, it's just very nice of you to ask, okay? Trying to make it fit, and you asked the public if they had any comments. Well, there's six of us. And I was just thinking to myself, this is the first meeting I've attended to the point that there's not been any rudeness, snide remarks, or anything. By asking our opinion of the six of us, because I didn't see anyone that works within four around the county stand up and say anything, so there's really six of us here, that it turned a little ugly and rude. Everyone's entitled, again, to their opinion. You asked for it. So, and I thank you for asking for it, but if someone says something you don't like, there's no reason to be making little snide remarks. So if you want to ask us, ask us. If not, don't put it on the agenda. Thank you.
Any more public comment? Okay, motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we change our starting time of the Story County Commission meetings from 2 p.m. to 10 a.m.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, I can't sleep until oh, noon 30 anymore, huh?
What did you make me?
Next meeting.
We pass it, we'll pass it today.
Okay, second reading, liquor license, VCTC, item number 10.
You're up, Sheriff. You're up, Sheriff.
VCTC liquor.
Did you get your bed placed?
We understand.
Yes. We have completed the background investigation. There is nothing to preclude them from holding a liquor license. Basically, at this time, I would recommend approval contingent upon the fees being paid as discussed with the county manager.
That is correct, and they will be paid if they haven't.
Okay. Comments? Mark? Mark?
Mark Phillips, Virginia City resident. Discussion before possible action on item number 10. This is a second reading for a liquor license by VCTC. Commissioners McBride and Commissioners Gilman, you may not be aware of how hard I've tried to get the County Fair and Recreation Board to actually make a motion to give Mr. Dotson the approval and the authority to make this application. At the VCTC level, there's never been an action motion item to actually have this application be made by Mr. Dotson. And, you know, I tried my best over the last 2 months to get them to address this, and to date it hasn't. And my second concern is I see no reference on record to a physical address where this business will be transacted. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. What do we show for a physical address? A crystal bar, probably, huh?
On the application for the license, it shows the physical address is 86 South C Street.
Close enough.
I don't know if that's exact or not, but that's what's listed.
There you go.
And I want to point out as staff that this vote will be made by the Story County Liquor Board, and statute says that Liquor Board consists of the three commissioners and the sheriff.
And I've made the motion, so.
I have a motion.
I think the sheriff made the motion.
He did.
You second
it. Second
it. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, Liquor Board is done. What do we got? Geez, we got a lot of those, huh? Okay, item 11 is licensing.
Listeners, I would recommend that you approve items A, B, C, D, E, F, and H as meeting all the requirements and inspections for a business license in Story County.
Motion.
Move for approval. Second reads, being corrected, that was A, B, C, D, E, F, and H.
H, yes.
Okay.
Move for approval of those.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
And I would ask that you can continue G, I, J, K, and bring to your attention A, Battlebone Munitions has withdrawn as they have decided to wait until they purchase land and build their own building. Kind of unique situation there. He has got 3 C trains of ammunition coming in from Europe because of the ammunition shortage, and they have all been pre-sold, so they're not even coming in. They're just going right to Shields, a couple of places that bought the whole C trains of ammunition. So at this time, he has asked to be withdrawn.
Motion? Move to continue G, I, J, K, and withdraw Battleborne Munitions.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Okay, public comment. General public comment. Any public comment? Any
general public comment?
General public comment.
If Melvin.
Come on up, Melvin.
I'm trying to hear you.
I said, come on up. Talk to us.
I'm here.
Not completely, but...
Oh, well, it's as good as it gets when you're my age. And I would appreciate it if, you know, you folks would just give me my 3 minutes and I'll hang up my earphones and go.
You got it.
I got a letter from my email from my friend, the DA, and he doesn't like me anymore. So I'm, you know, going to go out and see if I can't go to my bank and borrow some money and go out and buy me a friend. But I do feel that I'm entitled to my 3 minutes. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I don't dislike anybody. It's the action of the county people that I don't like. And I'd like to talk about Mark Twain. I drive around down there 30 to 35 miles a day, every day, except 2 that I go to California to spine care. And I know what's going on down there. And I talk to those people that Lance has appointed. And they say they're just over that building. They're not worried about the weeds out in front on the side by where the school buses park. And they're not worried about the fire hydrant. We've had a fire hydrant in the park since the park was built. It's broke is the problem. And I thought a hydrant with an on-off knob where you had to hold it on like a drinking fountain would suffice, because I went over there 6 times because the kids have turned the damn thing on, pulled it up and leave it, and just goes in the ground. And I don't want to be a park ranger, but people complain because there's no water. There's no water to do anything in the park. And Lance could help that, but the fire we had down there caused me quite a little bit of headache. It burnt right to the ground, and it burnt all the wood off the frame and everything, unless they drug it off. And we've got probably 25 places down there that are in the same shape. Some of them are for sale. And then you got, and they've been for sale for 5 years. They changed people. There's nobody there, and there's no lights. It's well known that if somebody wants to steal or do anything bad, they're going to go in a dark place. And I've got lights, and the county's got 2 lights across the street. But we need a street light program down there, and the fire department would really do well if they would come down there and get with somebody who knows what's going on. And I can show them these places, and I can show them the ones that need the repair and upkeep. I mean, it's not hard to see. But nobody just acts like, oh, just leave the old man over and shut him up. Well, I see everything that goes on out here because I drive my dogs around. They like the dogs that run free in the yard, you know, the fence runners. And my dogs like to chatter with them. And so that's 30 to 35 miles every single day, except 2 days a year, that I don't do it. And I know what's going on. I drive by everybody's house at least every 3rd day. I like some places better than others. Is my time up? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Time's up.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Can I leave? Where would I park these? Do you want me to put them back outside or do you want them?
Thank you very much. They work better than anything I've had yet.
And I want to tell you, Dale, it took me forever to get that fire started in that place down there.
It did.
It was tough.
I'm not sure you should start.
We are, Dale, we are too.
We're talking now.
We're just talking.
But I want to help, see, I do want to help.
My gosh, get your gas can and a mattress, and I'll be down there and we'll help.
I was 13 hours last time, I was sleeping when it started, and I was going to set fire. You're going to have to get the DA to give me a pass while I'm not selling if I get caught. I'm all doing it daytime.
Okay, any other public comment?
Thank you.
Mark.
Mark.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We got, item number 12, public comment. It's 20 to 5 p.m. In a letter I dated 12th of August, Dear Corey Wood, Secretary of the County Fair and Recreation Board, this is my written request to observe or copy the written resignation of board member Mr. Doug McQuaid, appointed by the Board of County Commissioners on the 18th of January, 2012. And there's document numbers that are being recorded. If Mr. McQuaid's written resignation is unavailable, or you have reason to believe that the document does not exist, statute requires you to provide written notice of the fact by the end of the fifth working day, which was August the 16th of this month. If Mr. McQuaid's resignation was verbal, I will contact the district attorney's office for a sworn affidavit of the fact. August 14th, Dear Mr. Phillips, to the best of my knowledge, the Virginia City Tourism Commission, VCTC, does not have in its possession a written resignation for past board member Doug McQuaid. Let me quote statute NRS 283.030. It's the resignation of appointed officers. All officers holding office by appointment shall resign their offices to the officer, body, or board that appointed them. Commissioners, I'm in a loss here. I'll just keep writing letters, but y'all got to give me something I can sink my teeth into by the next meeting. I need to know what happened to Doug McQuaid, and I need the appointment to fill his vacancy in office to include the end of his term as required by statute. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to state on the record that Mr. McQuaid resigned verbally to me after he separated the employment with Comstock Mining and the Gold Hill Hotel.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay. Commissioners, Mr. Gilman.
Thank you for a nice meeting.
Mr. McBride.
Had the pleasure of going on the Hobart Reservoir and Marlette Lake water tour this last week, and lived here my whole life, and it's the first time I've seen all of this. It was very educational. Thanks, Mike, for putting it together. He's the gentleman that coordinated with that from the Marlette water system out there. They did a fine job, and they're very well educated and informative. So if anybody else gets an opportunity to go on this tour, I highly recommend it.
And
I had one more item on here, Mr. Chairman. In reference to the sheriff's comment on the special, when a liquor licensee being able to use special events of only three times a year, this might be an antiquated ordinance now, because we didn't have as many special events probably as successful in the past as we do now. I'd like us to maybe direct staff to look into this and perhaps adjusting it going forward, and we can agendize that at a later date, because we don't want to, I don't think we want to cause a hardship on anybody for trying to generate business for the business district.
All right, I have one thing. You were done, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Over the past couple of years, I've heard a lot from the various communities, Mark Twain, Highlands, River District, about everybody's
sucking the hind milk clamp on getting projects approved in their particular areas. And each one thinks that they're getting the worst treatment. The park funds have been a contentious issue. And so my thoughts were, and it's, this is strictly a very, very general suggestion or comment, I thought about starting maybe a community grant program where each community would fund each community a specific amount of money every year, and that they, each community through their local leadership, would be able to submit to us a simple form, one page, and request grant money to do the projects that they want to do. It's been very difficult to get the communities to come together and give us a solid list of things that they want. For instance, in the Highlands, they keep telling me, you never do anything for us, you never do anything for us, but they never tell us what they want us to do. And so this kind of empowers those local communities to say, by gosh, now we got it, we're going to fill out this grant form, send it into the county, and we can get this done. And I just wanted to put that out there as kind of a food for thought, a very conceptual type idea at this point, but I would appreciate your consideration over the next couple of weeks till our next meeting. And if you think that's something that we might look at, get with the county manager, and we can agendize it for probably a discussion initially.
I would follow up, Bill. I'm going to circle back to when we were in budgets, and one of the things that I'd like to see us do here in the county is reorganize our community outreach department. And one of the concepts of community outreach would be the officer that would pay attention to parks and park funds, to neighborhood issues, to attend the various board meetings at the various community centers and senior centers and seniors awareness operations and all things community outreach Story County. And I believe we've grown to a point as a county that we would benefit all of the residents in our community by having a designated and reorganized community outreach department, or at least head of. And we could then look at budgeting, we could look at monetary management, we could look at allocations to various programs, everything from library to perhaps community transportation. I don't know, the list is endless, but I still would recommend we take a hard look at reorganizing that department and giving a direction to an individual. And I think that would tie right in with what you're suggesting, Bill, in the grant side of the thing.
And gentlemen, if I might, I think particularly for the two new commissioners, that I may not have adequately explained this part of the process, but I think we're going to have a unique I'm pretty sure we're going to have a unique opportunity here in the next 30, 45, 60 days when Rick is done with our audit. If we stay on course that we think we've stayed on, state law allows us to take that budget that you approved on the third Monday in May and augment it based on this past year's performance. Specifically, if we have higher than anticipated ending fund balances, and as I have told the public and the commission year after year, you know, we always try to be very conservative in our revenue forecasts, specific to the general fund in this case, and we try to be, I'm not going to say we pad, but we try to account for almost every dollar that we even think we might need to spend in the general fund. You know, that usually we don't spend it all. Things change throughout the year. You budget an employee with, you know, a spouse and three children on their medical plan, and that one leaves and a new one comes in that may not have any kids, that saves you money. But as we identify those unanticipated bonuses, state law allows us to augment, if you will, certain pots of money through a public process. That I think would be a good funding mechanism for you, Bill. and is certainly something to be considered. So give us, if you would, maybe as much as 60 days to be able to get that audit behind us. And Mr. Gallagher, Mr. Dotson, and I will certainly staff this thing to death and get it out in the public.
All right. So I think then we can kick a lot of this around off the clock. And obviously can't do it here right now. So we're done. Gunther, come and see here, Bitta. We're done. Go home. Have a beer.